Him and his wife and all they do around here. Amen and amen. Matthew 28 is where we are. I caught Mrs. Kistler, her eye there just a little bit ago. It's great to have you as well. There are so many, I'm probably missing others that are just come through today that normally are not able to be with us. And I'm so thankful that you're here today. Amen. Matthew 28. I'm going to be very transparent and honest with you, church. Before we get started here, I wasn't planning to preach this. We've been studying Matthew for the last, seems like 2 years on Sunday nights, and we've been walking through the book, and I got to this passage, and I said, Lord, I've heard the end of Matthew 28 so many times preached on. I said, we've covered it, and the Lord wouldn't let me alone. You know what he said? He said, you need to just get your flesh out of the way and let me preach. That's what he said to me. In other words, to help some of you, like myself, that needs this, God was going, hey, quit telling me what you're going to do and listen to what I'm going to do. Amen. And so God wouldn't leave me be with this. And I began to study this passage. And God brought up several questions to me along the way and showed me some truth in here that I had not seen. And I just got fed this week. And in fact, you say, well, why are you preaching on Sunday morning? Because there's so much of it. I can't get through it all this in one service. I'm going to be twice in this passage today. And I'm excited about it because of what God has given me. Now, understand the times in which we live in. This was a hard week, was it not? There are a lot of people searching for answers now. There's a lot of people that are just hurting in their heart deep down. The country that we live in, that we belong to. I'm an American citizen, and we had somebody martyred on American soil this week. Do we understand what we're talking about there? Whether you would believe, you would follow his political viewpoint or not. He was a Christian of the Lord Jesus Christ preaching the gospel. And he was martyred for what he believed and what he stood for. And I don't believe for one instance that God brought us to this passage on accident today. Not for one instance do I believe that. Not for one moment. God is perfect in his timing and what he wants. And sometimes your preacher's a little slow and it takes a minute for me to figure out what the Lord's doing. But hey, he wouldn't leave me alone. He wouldn't leave me alone with this passage, and I believe this is going to be a help to us today. All right? Before we dive into it, I just need the Spirit of God, and I'm going to ask for his presence and his power right now, please. All right? Let's bow together. Lord, I need you. God, I need you every hour, but this specific hour right now, time of preaching. And Lord, this is not by accident. This is clearly your doing. And I pray that, Lord, you would just get me, my flesh, Lord, use me, but get my ideas and my message and my program out of the way. And you, Lord, you do, Lord, what you plan to do. I pray that your will, the Father's will, would be accomplished right now, please. Lord Jesus, please be magnified by myself, by us today in this, Lord, this time. And Holy Spirit, thank you for helping us to do those very things. Guide us. Guide my mind, my heart, my tongue right now, Lord, my speech. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew has declared Jesus as king, as the Messiah king that was prophesied about throughout all the time of the Old Testament. From Genesis 3 on, we see the prophecy of the Messiah to come. And Matthew, specifically about 30 years after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, decides and led of God to write a gospel to his Jewish brethren to help them to understand he is the Messiah and don't deny him. Look at all the truths and all the things of the Old Testament that were brought in and fulfilled with Jesus Christ. I was just amazed, even in this passage, more that I learned this week about Old Testament being prophesied even right here in these few verses here. Just the Lord whether Old Testament, New Testament, it all comes together and it all points to Jesus Christ. The Father has exalted Jesus, has He not? It says, by every tongue shall confess, every knee is going to bow before Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus, the judge of all the world, we will stand before Him. And we will, honestly, we're going to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," or we're going to hear, "Depart from me, I never knew you," when that book is opened up. Praise the Lord for it. Look at the passage again, please, if you would. Then the 11 disciples, this is verse 16, Matthew 28. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee. We're going to look at that tonight. A little more of the specifics in that tonight. Into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Now, by way of introduction, look at verse 17. Look at this. And when they saw Him, they worshiped Him. What's the rest say? But some doubted. Some doubted. Who are we talking about? We're talking about the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, the disciples that saw Him in His resurrected body. Amen. That's who we're talking about. The ones that saw Him. But I don't believe it was just the 11 here. I believe there would be more than that. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that Jesus Christ was seen in His resurrected body by more than 500 people at one time. He tells us that, 1 Corinthians 15. He shows us that. And I believe here that this is possibly a place where I'll get in at tonight. I don't want to spoil that tonight. Where He's at and what He's doing here, and my understanding of this when I see Scripture. But in verse 17, they worshiped Him. Now this would be really and honestly the first time that we see that of Jesus in His body here being worshiped by these disciples. We know they're there. Really, we see that's the first time that this is mentioned. Yes, they declared Him as the Christ. Yes, they told Him, "Hey, You are the Son of God." Peter told Him that, right? But this is really where we see that word worshiped. The resurrection of the Lord changes things. You understand that? It changes things. It sets us apart from everyone else in this world. Everybody, other religion, and other viewpoint, whether it be for some false god or whether it be for God Jehovah. The resurrection of Jesus Christ sets us apart. That changes my life. It changes things. And praise God for it. But some doubted. How does that make sense? Some doubted. What do you mean they doubted? He died on the cross. They knew that. Here, before this time, we have John chapter 20, where He said, "Thomas, give me your hand." And He put His fingers in the nail prints. And he took His hand and put it on the side where the spear had gone through. And He says, "It's Me. It's Me in physical form, the Lord that you have claimed to be the Son of God, the Son of Man who is the Son of God." Please understand, when He uses that word, Son of Man, that is directly tied to His Jewish heritage in His fleshly body, where the Messiah King prophesied in the line of David would come. He wouldn't be just a spirit, but He would be a man. And that Son of Man is Jesus Christ. It's God incarnate. That's who that is. But He's also the Son of God. He's the second of the Trinity. And the Scripture tells us all these things. I'm giving you a little doctrine today, but that's okay. We need doctrine. We need the Scripture. But some doubted. But some doubted. I'm scratching my head a little bit on that. I did that this week. If you can't visualize that, just look at me in my office going, "Lord, help me understand this." I mean, they saw Him, but they doubted. What does that mean? Well, I began to dig a little bit. I like digging in the Scripture. I did a lot of that this week, and I enjoyed it. If you don't have your own personal time of digging in the Word of God and getting fed from the meat of the Word, amen? That word doubted is the Greek, is Matthew used a Greek word here, doubted, and it's distazo. Distazo, D-I-S-T-A-Z-O, distazo. And that word there, this is the doubted, was translated from this word that he used, distazo. And that distazo means specifically to duplicate. To duplicate. As in, help me here, as in needing it twice. Duplicate. Who else needed it twice? Thomas. He heard it, he said, but I don't believe it. He heard it, but he said, I don't believe it. I need it again. Tell me again. And Jesus showed up 8 days later to show Thomas again, hey, it's not just by word only, but here I am. And needed it again. And needed it again. Some people do not receive the Lord Jesus Christ the first time they get the gospel, but yet some do. Others need it to hear it again and again and again. Sometimes it just takes a moment for us to receive it. This word distazo, let me show you. The word doubt is found in the scripture, in the New Testament scriptures, 24 times. But only twice is distazo, this Greek word, used for doubt. Let me show you the other place where it's used. Keep your hand here, please, and go with me to Matthew 14. Matthew 14. There's only twice where this is used in Scripture. Matthew 14, if you'd go there with me, please. We're coming back to 28, but Matthew 14, I want to show you this. This is still by way of introduction now. Matthew 14, and we'll get where we're going. But this passage right here in Matthew 14 is when Jesus walked on the water out to the boat with the disciples in it. And what happened? There was somebody that went out to join him. It was Peter. All right? Look what it says. Look what the Bible says. Matthew 14, verse 28. Matthew 14, 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Watch verse 30 now. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou what? Doubt. That's the only other time this word was translated doubt in our New Testament here. And as I began to understand that, that word specifically means to duplicate, needing it twice. And if you go further into that explanation of that, and that definition of the word, it means needing it twice, but consider it this way, to hesitate. What was that again? What? Can you tell me that again? To hesitate. To hesitate. They were there at this place because Jesus had risen from the dead and they were meeting with him. Do you remember what we studied last week in Matthew 28? How he told the ladies at the empty tomb, go tell my disciples I'll see them in Galilee. I'm going to meet them up there. Remember that? And then later he comes and appears to them and says, hey, it's me. I'm risen. You're going to meet with me in Galilee. This is them up in Galilee later. It couldn't have been that week because he meets with them 8 days later, but it's sometime after this, and he's meeting with them, and they were there, and they worshiped him as God, as the risen Savior. But some hesitated. Some doubted. Some said, can you explain it again? What was that? They hesitated. They hesitated. Now, by way of introduction, here are some people that saw Jesus risen from the dead that hesitated. And God began to help me understand the reason why sometimes I hesitate. Follow me on this. We see here in this passage the king's departing remarks. And he's risen from the dead and he's given a message to them saying, this is what I have for you. And let's just understand this, the king's departing remarks, but understanding that some were hesitant. Number one, Number one on this, the king's departing remarks, he wants us to relinquish our control. Relinquish our control. Okay? Look at verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Man, I got digging in this, and I got fed from the Word of God on this. This is actually direct prophecy from Psalm chapter 2. In Psalm chapter 2, we have this messianic psalm there talking about the Lord Jesus to come. He literally says in the psalm, he says, and I will put my king in Zion. And he's talking about the Messiah king to come. He's talking about that. And then he says, God, the Father, talking to the king, he says, ask of me, and I will give you the inheritance of the heathen. And I will give you the uttermost parts of the earth. Jesus Christ, as Son of Man, was God in full form, and he came as a servant, as a man in the flesh, not showing off his full power, not showing off all that he could do, but he came as a servant. Philippians chapter 2 explains to us so well. And the Holy Spirit of God, that dove that rested upon him when John the Baptist dipped him in the Jordan. And we see that, and the Holy Spirit of God began to work through Jesus and give him and make miracles and happen and give power to him. Say, I don't grasp all that. I've been dwelling on that for the last 2-3 weeks since that missionary that we brought in going to Iceland, Shaver. And he was just talking about that, and I've been dwelling on that thought. And you know what God shared with me this week? Look at the other side, the opposite that tries to look like Jesus, the false Trinity. Yeah, the devil and the false prophet and the Antichrist. The Antichrist doesn't have a power in his own, but he's given power by the false prophet according to Revelation. And I'm seeing that and I'm understanding that as I'm chewing on this, on the meat of the Word. I've just been excited about this. He says here in verse 18, all power is given unto me. Who gave it to him? The Father did. Well, wait a minute. Jesus is God. Yes, but he had settled. He purposely came as a servant in his flesh. And God, remember when the Bible talks about how he grew? Remember the Lord Jesus Christ, he grew in wisdom and stature with God and man. God began to give him more as he grew as a man, because he was not just God, but he was man 100%. That's why the Hebrews tells us that he could go to the cross and become our perfect Savior, because he's a man. And he understood, he was tempted just like we are tempted. And he took on that suffering for us. I know I'm getting deep in here, but I've just been enjoying it. Amen. We need some good old doctrine of the Scripture occasionally. Amen. Praise God for it. Now he says, all power is given to me. Now watch this now. All power. That word is exousia in the Greek there. And it means to have all authority, delegated authority, and all power. You understand, Jesus Christ, according to Colossians chapter 1, created everything that exists. Everything. John chapter 1 says that. Colossians says that. Hebrews 1 says that. Everything. That means every fallen angel that has stood against him, Jesus Christ created them. That means every righteous, holy angel before God, he created them. Principalities and powers, it says. That means you and I, everything about us, he created us. That means the trees out here and the beautiful weather that we've had recently and the sky and those clouds coming through that blue sky and enjoying. I mean, just watch what God has created for you. Jesus Christ did that for you and me. He did that. But then he came as a man. And God the Father said when he resurrected, ask of me and I'll give you all of this. And he did. And Jesus said, it all belongs to me. It's all power is given unto me. Relinquish your control. Christian, you want to know why you're struggling following out the Great Commission that He's laid out here in Matthew 28. It's given to us 5 times in the Scriptures. Every single one of the Gospels gives us the Great Commission and the book of Acts. Every single one of it does. We know that the Lord's in this. We know because He kept repeating it over and over and over again. And why are we struggling to do that? Because we haven't relinquished our control to Him. All power is given unto me, whether it be in heaven or whether it be on earth. There is not a soul on this earth, not a soul on this earth that doesn't need the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everybody needs to be saved, and that's the will of the Father, according to 2 Peter. Everybody needs to be saved. There's not a single person that shouldn't be given the gospel. There's not a single person that God can't save. You mean even like this murderer we talked about, we heard about this week? Yes, even he can be saved. You mean even those people that ran planes into the towers 24 years ago and had that awful tragedy on September 11, 2001? Yes, they needed to be saved, but they gave up their life. Even their ancestors, or rather their families and all these things. Everybody needs the gospel. And God is able to save whosoever will come to Him. That means your next door neighbor. That means your family. And that means sometimes those people downtown Martinsburg that we don't understand and they're saying all kinds of stuff. They need to be saved too. Amen. Whether it be the poorest or the richest. Whether it be those with a lot or those with a little. Whether it be those of one skin color or another, they all need to be saved. He says, all power is given unto me, and I can do this. Relinquish your control. Look now, remember His command. Relinquish your control, remember His command. Look at this now. What command? Look at the first part of verse 19. Go ye therefore. Therefore, the word therefore, right there, ties us back to the word all power. Therefore. Therefore is the link. Jesus Christ has given, Brother June, Jesus Christ has given you and I authority because He had authority to delegate it. You follow me on that? Therefore, all power is given to me. Therefore, go ye. That's what He's saying. He's telling us that Brother Williams, that whether we're going to the other field across the world or whether we're going down to Martinsburg here, He says, you don't go in your own power and you don't go in your own authority. It's not yours. It's my command that I'm giving you. If you're a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, you've been commanded and you're not going, hi, my name's John Woolard and I'd like to talk to you today. No, listen, it's not about me. It's nothing to do with me. It's Jesus Christ. He's risen from the dead and He's been given all power. And all glory and all praise. And we need to turn to Him as soon as you can. Receive Him as your Savior. Because He is the King of Kings. The Lord of Lords. God incarnate. Saving your soul. Right, forgiving you on the cross. If you would just believe and call out to Him and say, Lord, save my soul. He can save you. That's why we go. That's why we go, Brother George. Why? Because He's given us that authority. Amen. Sometimes around here, we have to deal with situations, right? It happens. Okay, you take Brother Grant, for example. He's a principal here. He's in his first year a principal. I mean, he's been around for a while. He's knowledgeable, great man of wisdom. But he's first year in his principling here. And sometimes I tell him or I tell other people, I tell this a lot to Mrs. Williams because she's church secretary. I say, you've got to handle this situation, and though it's uncomfortable, tell him, I told you. Tell him, I told you to do it. Yeah, you got to go confront somebody because there's an awkward situation here or something's not right or whatever the case is. Okay, Pastor, I'll do it. I said, but just tell them it's from me. Just give them my name. Again, I'm not here trying to boost myself up, but I am the pastor, And God has given me some authority as the pastor to keep things like He wants them. Amen. So when I say, just tell them I told you, I'm saying God told you. But when I'm talking to Mrs. Williams or Brother Grant or whoever it might be, I say, just tell them that this is what I want. Why? Because we're not on our own authority. We're on the authority from Him. Praise the Lord. Well, yeah, but preacher, I'm uncomfortable. You want me to go talk to somebody about what they believe? Well, first of all, I mean, yes, I'd like that, but it's not from me. It's the authority that God has given to you to do that. You go in His name. And that's what he's saying there. Therefore goes back to power. It's the link there. And what do we do when we go forward? Look at the next part. Teach all nations. I find it very, very fascinating. Brother Shelley, I find it so fascinating. He says, teach all nations. Why? Because he's talking, Matthew here is talking to his Jewish brethren. You know what the Jews were supposed to do? You know what Israel was supposed to be? According to Genesis chapter 12, they were supposed to be a blessing to all the families of the earth. According to Genesis chapter 12, when God told Abraham, I'm going to make unto thee a great nation, and he says, and in all the families of the earth will be blessed in you. You know what that means? That Israel was supposed to take God's message to the world. That was his purpose. We see the Holy Scriptures were given to us largely, in part, mostly by Jewish men that God used to write them down. Amen. That Israel is who he used, and they were supposed to take it to the world, but yet they rejected Christ. And so the Lord said, the church will do it for a time, but I'm coming again. The second coming of Christ, when he puts his feet down on the Mount of Olives and splits it in two and rescues the remnant of Israel in Jerusalem from the Antichrist and sets up his kingdom. At that point, 144,000 Jews will take the gospel to the uttermost, and they will see countless men and people getting saved, turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're talking about genuine, real Jehovah's Witnesses according to Revelation chapter, is it 12, I think? Or no, it's after that. But it's 144,000 Jews, 12,000 from every tribe of Israel, taking the gospel message to the world. And the Lord will once again restore that command unto them to reach the world. Praise God for it. I ask you in here as I'm preaching, are you saved? This is the message that this is what he told Abraham. Go reach the world. He's telling us today, the church, go reach the world. Reach them with what? Teach all nations that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. So I ask you, have you received that personally? One day you're going to stand before Christ. The books will be opened. And is your name written down in that book of life? Who was it now? Miss Chris Cave. She just sang that song the other night in our revival. There is a record book. My name is written in. Amen. Talking about the book of life. And I know I'm going to heaven, and I know I'm saved. And I know for all that's in me, according to Scripture here, that I am going to heaven with the Lord forever, ever, and ever. Amen. Praise God for it. You know why? Because my name's written down. And my name's written down because I believe. And I ask you today, do you know that you were saved? And maybe you come today because you're just overwhelmed with this grief of the things that happened this week. You know that Charlie Kirk, who was assassinated, who was martyred this week, he was a born-again believer of Jesus Christ. Born again. Telling the world, hey, I saw testimony after testimony this week, because that's what happens when people die oftentimes. And he gave his testimony on how he got saved as a younger man. Praise God for that. I ask you, are you saved? And if you're not, maybe today would be your day of salvation if you would just receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Receive him. Call out to him. Do you understand the devil doesn't like what's going on right now? You think that light is blinking on purpose? Yes, it's distracting me. I know it's distracting you. You know why that's going? We've had these lights on all week long. We had a revival. Then there was cleaning going on, and there was other things going on. These lights have been on a lot this week, and it just now, during this service, starts blinking. The devil's saying, I don't like what's going on, and I'm trying to distract you. Now quit looking at the light, and let's receive what Jesus Christ has for us today. Amen? Quit looking at the light, and let's receive what the Lord has for us today. Amen? What else is in here? He tells it, remember his command. He says, go, and he says, teach all nations, and then he says, baptizing them. There are folks in here that have been saved and have never been baptized. You say, well, but baptism doesn't save you. We understand that according to Scripture, but it's still a command of the Lord Jesus Christ. Baptism is outward testimony of what Jesus has done inwardly in your heart. It's outwardly what he's done inwardly. You know what? I always, when I'm thinking about this, I go back to the Scripture where Jesus said, if you deny me, I'll deny you. And I think, whew. I know people, my grandmother, she got, I believe it was colon cancer, and she died very, very quickly when they found that. But she got saved in the hospital. Praise God for that. She never got baptized as a born-again believer. God still loves her and took her home. Praise the Lord. She was a good lady all her life, religious, singing in the choir, playing the organ for the Lutheran church, all of that. But she'd never received Jesus Christ personally until that hospital room. She never got baptized. Now, I don't know all of that, all of what the Lord rewards he'll give her and all those things. Maybe a lot, maybe not. I don't know. But what I do know is God gives the command for us to be baptized. And he gives the command for us that are saved, once we've taught the nations and they've received it, that we ought to baptize. So if we have the command to baptize, then the command to be baptized is there. Amen. That we would stand before others and publicly give testimony. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. He has saved me and buried me. But just like he was died on the cross and was buried. Whew, I die to myself, and to myself, my old fleshly ways are buried, and I'm risen a new creature in Christ. I'm a born again Christian, and will serve him with all my life. That's what baptism is the picture of the change of heart on the outside. And then he goes in and he says, verse 20, teaching them to observe all things. Discipleship. Discipleship. Why do we keep coming to church? Discipleship. Why do we go to Sunday school? Discipleship. What do you mean? Making disciples, teaching them to observe all whatsoever I have commanded you? Amen. Sunday school is a part of discipleship. Wednesday night Bible study is a part of discipleship. Amen. Your own personal time with the Word of God with the Lord is discipleship. But there's something specific God has led us to do here, but by putting one and one on together, and one person taking the Bible and showing another person the Bible and going through a program. That's discipleship too. And I challenge you, if you've never been through that, let's grow together in the Word of God. Because he gives that command right here. Now, I preached a while, and I'm hot, and I'm sweaty, and I'm hungry, all right? So, let's wrap it up here. Okay, what we've seen is, we've got to relinquish our control. We've got to remember his command. But here's the third part. Respond to his commission. Respond. Yes. We relinquish our control. Yes, we remember his command, but we've got to respond. We've got to respond to his commission. We've heard a lot of truth today. We've heard doctrine. God brought out a lot more than I ever thought he was going to do this morning. He brought out doctrine today. Got a little deep, but I needed that. I needed those reminders. How are you and I going to respond to this? respond to the commission. Number one, are you saved? If you're not saved, you say, I don't even know what that means. Whew. It is the most important thing in your entire life. It's being reconciled back to God. Isaiah chapter 1, your sins are scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Being reconciled back to God, he says, come, let us reason together. That was God saying that to people. His people. There's so many in here, and you say, well, I'm a Christian. I'm one of the Lord's people. I believe in the Lord. Yes. But have you received Jesus as your Savior? Well, how do I do that? So clearly in Romans chapter 10, it says, if you believe that he's risen from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You call unto him and ask him. It says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Hallelujah. Respond. Respond. Now, Christian in here. Okay, Christian in here. Listen, I'm telling you, the devil don't like this. He's giving you distractions. I'm telling you, it's happening. He's pinching babies and he's making things happen and doing all. He doesn't want you to hear this. Do all that you can. Pay attention. Listen, the Lord wants you to be saved. The devil doesn't want that. But he also wants Christians, because all power has been given unto him and he's delegating that authority to us. He says, go ye therefore. When are we going to respond to his commission? When are we going to respond and say, well, I've been saved, but I haven't been baptized, and we see it right there. When are we going to respond and say, well, I've been saved and baptized, but I'm not grown. I don't know what this says. I don't even know all the books of the Bible. I need to grow. I need to learn. Yes! How can we know the Word of God unless we go through discipleship? Let's respond. Let's respond. Let's bow together, please. Lord, help us now today. Help us, please. Lord, I believe you are here this morning and your presence has been so real to me. And God, you just preached a powerful message that, Lord, I didn't even know what you were doing. I didn't expect all of this, but yet you did it. And I thank you for the reality, Lord, of you, your spirit working in here. Lord, I pray right now personally working in each individual heart, and that we would bow before you and say, Lord, here I am. Help me to respond the way you want me to respond. Help me to respond the way you want me to respond. Yes, I need to relinquish my control. It's not me. It's not my authority. It's not my power. It's God's. Yes, I need to remember the command that he's given to us. But help us to respond to his commission. Help us to respond. Maybe that's in salvation. Maybe that's in baptism. Maybe that's in getting discipled. And whatever it might be, maybe it's in us taking the gospel to the world as he's told us to. Help us this morning to respond, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.